we're continuing in our series on the book of Hebrews. Who is Yeshua? We're answering that question, who is Yeshua? And I particularly like this week's passage because I needed this week's passage. It's encouragement. I needed encouragement. I'm sure you need encouragement with everything going on in the world and the fast pace of life even. We need encouragement because, you know, this is my question to you, and I know the answer is going to be yes, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you ever grow weary? Are you weary right now, actually? Are you weary with life, with things? Is it all too much at times? We get into, or we get out of here and we go into the world, and there's the pressures of life. There's the constant drumbeat of life. And, you know, we like to think that things are much worse for us than they were for our parents and our grandparents before us, you know. And it's true, the pace of life has really picked up, but there's nothing new under the sun, right? Book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. There's always been stress. There's always been problems in our in the lives of people and in the world, and certainly there's been sin since the Garden of Eden. So we're going to see today, though, how a book that was scripture to us, the book of Hebrews, it was written 2,000 years ago, and it had stuff to say about this, about not growing weary, which is the same kind of encouragement that you and I need today 2,000 years later. So there really is nothing new under the sun. They had the same problem 2,000 years ago about not growing weary or being encouraged to not grow weary. If they didn't have that problem, the author of Hebrews wouldn't have put it in. But he put it in because it was happening then. And guess what? It's happening now. They struggled just as we struggle today. But we have Yeshua. They had Yeshua. We have Yeshua today. And he struggled. We need to learn from that. We're going to talk about that today. But he ultimately overcame. And in Yeshua, you and I can overcome too. This is really the message. When we talk about who is Yeshua, he's an overcomer. And in Yeshua, you and I are overcomers. We need to know that. We need to remember that. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. We're going to start off in our passage. The text today is Hebrews 12, 3 to 17. We're going to start off with 3 and 4 as we begin. Hebrews 12, 3. Consider him, this is Yeshua, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Most of us have not shed our blood over this in this world. And yes, we have problems. There's sin everywhere. Yes, we're dealing with struggles and things. But when we look at Yeshua, Yeshua was sinless. He did everything right. He did everything right, and yet still he endured struggles. Yet we think, oh, if I'm just a good person, if I do everything right, if I just treat everybody right, if I, you know, worship God, everything is going to be okay. Well, yes, spiritually speaking, things are going to be okay, but for a time, physically, in this world, they may not be okay. We have to learn from the example of Yeshua who went before us. He endured, and therefore we endure these things. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. Now, Isaiah 53 is that suffering servant passage within the prophetic book of Isaiah. And listen to how the Mashiach is described. Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. He did everything right. He came and he proclaimed peace. He told the people to repent, go back to Torah. He did everything right, and yet still he was despised and rejected by men. Why should we think that sometimes as we go about our lives as followers of Yeshua, that we're not despised and rejected at times by men? But yet we still say, and I know you've said it because I know I've said it, why, God, why is all this happening to me? Right? You ever said that? I'm trying to be a good person. What did I do wrong to deserve this? You know, sometimes when things go wrong, we tend to blame other people. It's just because of them. Okay? Then when that gets sometimes exhausted, then we say, you know, it's because of me. God, what did I do to make this come upon me? Well, sometimes, yes, it is us, but sometimes it's not. Also, you know, let's put a little perspective in here. Many times, none of us have shed blood over this, you know, I don't think. But, you know, our problems that we have seem to be on par with Yeshua's problems, don't they? But they're really not. When we have a little issue in our lives, you know, when we stub our toe and things don't go right at work that day, oh, I'm being persecuted, oh, things are bad, things are happening, we have to have a perspective. You know, these are first world problems that we have. We have food on the table. You know, we have a home, we have a bed to sleep in. We need to have that perspective that, you know, Yeshua endured these things, I'm going to endure these things, and I need to understand that. But it's also not as bad as I think it is, right? Sometimes we get ourselves into problems because of poor decisions. We like to blame the enemy, but it's because sometimes our poor decision-making has brought this upon us. But as we talked about, you can do everything right in your life. You can be the bestest person in the world. You can treat everybody great, and you could still face opposition. Bad things happen to good people in this world. It's a fact. That's a whole other message, but it's a fact. We have to remember that our fight is not against those people, even those people that are persecuting us today. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You know, even when we think about Israel with their fight right now, what's going on in the land, they're fighting against a people, right? But they're really fighting against more than that. They're fighting against, there's demonic forces involved. There's principalities and powers. Ephesians 6, 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is real. We're not going to get, we don't need to get super spiritual about it, but it's real. There's other dimensions going on. There's a spiritual battle going on that we can't see a lot of the time. So it may not be that you and I did anything wrong. It just may be spiritual battles happening around us. But we need to have the right perspective. Yeshua is our example. He goes before us in everything, including problems and suffering that we have. First Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 1. Let's turn there. 1 Peter 4:1 says, since therefore Messiah suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. I'm going to stop right there. The next time we say to ourselves, what did I do wrong because this is happening to me? Let's remember this verse. Since therefore Messiah suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And yes, we read verses like this and we know what it says, but we still get tired and weary many times. We still get tired and weary. I want you to turn with me to chapter 18 of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. There's a story here. It's actually a parable. And it's Yeshua telling this parable to his followers and to the people as he's going around. So let's listen to this parable. Luke 18, verse 1. And he, Yeshua, told them a parable to the effect that they always ought to pray and not lose heart, not grow faint. Verse 2, he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God listens to our cries. I'm thinking back to the book of Exodus when God heard the cry of the Israelites as they were enslaved in Egypt. And it says God heard the cries of his people. And I believe today with what's going on in the land of Israel, God is hearing the cry of Israel and they are crying out to God, not in their own power in many ways, but they're crying out and they're hungry for God. We need to look at these parables. This parable is called the parable of the persistent widow. Are we persistent? Are we persistent in crying out to God, in our prayer life, in going to God when we feel weary, in getting strength from God? Are we persistent or do we lose heart? These things are written in the Bible to encourage us, to encourage you and I. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says this. May this encourage us today. 1 Peter 5, 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory in Messiah, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be restored, confirmed, strengthened, and established in the Lord. And I've got to come to him, and we've got to come to him, even though for a little while there may be suffering. The point is to hold on. The point is to hang on. The point is to go and be persistent before the Lord. Point number one in our message today, do not grow weary in your walk. Many have grown weary and turned away from the Lord. Many have grown weary and lost hope and given up. Do not grow weary in your walk with the Lord. Now let's turn back to our passage for today, Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read the next section here, starting in verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This is mature stuff here. This is what we call the meat, okay? Now you might be saying, I thought we were talking about encouragement here, Rabbi. Why'd you have to pull out this stuff? Well, nobody likes discipline. I don't ever like discipline. It's a difficult thing, and it's a difficult thing to discuss because it isn't fun, because nobody likes it, right? You know, here's the thing. Religion, whether it's what we practice here, our faith and our beliefs, or just think about religion in general, it has become such a commodity in America and really around the world. It's become a commodity. In churches and synagogues and messianic synagogues, if you don't like something, you can just leave. You can go down the block and go to the next thing. It's a commodity, right? You don't like the way the rabbi combs his hair. You don't like the color of the carpet. That's my favorite color, by the way. But I wasn't the only one that picked it out. It was the board, okay? If you don't like the type of bagels we're eating, anything, you just put the, fill in the blank, things that you don't like, you leave. Because you can go down to the next store, right, the next commodity down there, and just grab it. You know, it's this fast food, this fast mentality. We can just go wherever we want if we don't like things. We can go down the road. That's how a lot of people think. So consequently, many congregations, many leaders don't talk about things like discipline because I don't want to hear that. I'm just going to go down there because they're doing fun stuff down there or over here. They're doing fun things. They're talking about all the fun things that like tickle my ears. Well, I like the fun things too. I like the fun scriptures. I'm encouraged by them. But we also have to look at all scripture because it's all God-breathed and useful for correction, 2 Timothy. And the problem here in America is we're just too fickle. We're too easy and ready to jump around. And by the way, usually when people jump around, they go to the next place, and the next place doesn't have everything they want, and there's something more, and then they move around, and they move around, and it's a vicious cycle because we get so easily offended, especially when things are talked about that are not pleasant. We don't properly teach and apply the Word of God and talk about things like discipline, so sometimes we really need to. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, there's a lot of scriptures on this. Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. These are Yeshua's words. So instead of getting offended, we need to repent. It's like the opposite, right? God is trying to refine us. He's trying to burn off the dross, to purify us. Turn with me to Proverbs. Such a great book of practical wisdom for us. Proverbs 12, verse 1. We're gonna do a couple of scriptures here in Proverbs. So many good, practical, everyday things in the book of Proverbs. I love reading the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 12, 1 says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but who hates reproof is stupid." I love how the Bible sometimes is just, let's not be stupid people, folks. It's the word of God. It's not me. That's pretty cut and dry. Turn back a few chapters to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp," the word, the Bible. "The commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." We think when everything's going great, we're not being disciplined. This is fun. This is great. This feels good. But a lot of times it's easy to get the flesh involved and go down a path that's not good. God doesn't always discipline us, but when he does, we need to recognize what it is. We need to be mature enough to walk through that valley of discipline, because we know when we come out on the other side of it, we're going to be reproved. We're going to be refined. We're going to have more maturity in our faith. We're going to be able to walk a little bit closer to the Lord no matter what's around us. Point number two in the message, discipline is necessary to mature our faith. And when it happens, we need to recognize it. We need to understand the word of God. Never feels good, but godly discipline is from the Lord. Now, that's godly discipline. A lot of times people discipline and it's not godly. We have to recognize there's what's called abuse and there's what's called godly discipline. And unfortunately, abuse happens too much within the body of Messiah. We see evidence of that in the news all the time. But we need to understand that there's godly discipline from the Lord. There's godly discipline from our parents. It was mentioned in the word here. There's godly discipline sometimes from a boss. And sometimes there's godly discipline from your congregational leadership. Godly and healthy discipline is good for our spiritual lives. Now back to the text, Hebrews. Still in chapter 12, we're going to pick up again now to chapter 12, verse 12. "Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Verse 15, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." You remember the story of Esau. Now, a lot of times in the Bible, we read about what God does for us. We read about who he is. We read about his promises. And that's all good. We need to read about that. We need to take that in. We need to know that he fights our battles and he's our God and all this good stuff. But there's a part that we have to play. A lot of times we forget that. We just kind of, especially in this society when everything is like, comes at us, all the stimulation and all the things, it's all at our fingertips. We forget that we need to work out our salvation actively, that we need to go and do something too. God does much for us. But you know the expression, God helps those who help themselves. I believe we need to get up and help ourselves and do good things. The spiritual life that we should be living as a healthy spiritual life is active, not passive. So that means we have a role to play. So when we read things in this passage like, lift up your drooping hands, we have to do that. Strengthen your weak knees. We have to strengthen ourselves before the Lord. Make straight paths for your feet. This requires work on our part. This requires getting up and getting going, taking responsibility for our own spiritual lives. It's great to come and listen to me, but as you go out there, let's take ownership of our spiritual lives And let's apply the Word of God and the things that we learn in here and out there in your quiet time with the Lord and in your time of ministering and being ministered to. Let's apply all this to our lives and let's put the work in. I want you to turn to Proverbs again, chapter 4, and I want to read this passage. It's chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. And listen to this active spiritual lifestyle. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let not them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from your crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. That's another nice way of saying, as you go, think about where you're going and go there. Do not swerve to the left or to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. These are all active things that you and I can do. Now turn to Psalm 15. The Bible is full of these active spiritual exercises or life practical skills that we need to do. Psalm 15, 1 and 2. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from his heart. We feel many times in our spiritual life we need to be carried by God. Many times God needs to carry us because we don't have any strength. But sometimes God tells us, okay, enough. I want you to get on your feet and I want you to walk and I want you to start moving. And sometimes, you know, we read about this a few weeks ago. Lech lecha. Abraham was told, go. He wasn't told, let me get you this chariot and you can just sit in it and eat grapes as I bring you to the Holy Land and wonderful. No, he was told to go, to move. It's an active thing, and it's an active thing for us. Point number three in our message, be strong in the Lord and walk straight. The key on that is walk, move, get going. Don't wait to be prompted. Don't wait to be divinely inspired. Sometimes it doesn't feel very spiritual to get up and get going, but we still have to do it. We just need to get up and go. Yes, it can be hard. Yes, we can be depressed when we look around the world, when we look at our lives sometimes, but we need to get moving with the Lord. Now, I want you to turn with me to this wonderful get moving passage. It's the book of Joshua, chapter 1. So what happens here is this is right after the Torah, right after Deuteronomy, right after 40 years of wandering through the desert by the Israelites. And they're on the threshold of going into that land of promise. And here's what's happening. I believe, and I don't think this is much of a stretch, that the people of Israel were maybe a little bit depressed, discouraged, weary. Why? Well, their leader for 40 years, Moses, had just died. Everything that they knew, the only leader that they had ever had, was gone. And yes, Joshua was there, but Joshua didn't lead. Moses always led. So it would have been easy for them to be a little bit depressed, a little bit down, questioning things. So I think God really needed to encourage them to get up and get going. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, very beginning of the book. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Now, it's not only that, but turn to verse 9 now of chapter 1 of Joshua. Have I not commanded you? It's almost as if, wait a minute, let me stop right there. It's almost as if God says that and they're like, really? You know, should we go? And he's kind of like, go. Have I not commanded you? Verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, anytime you might feel a little bit scared or timid to walk out there in the world or to go for God or to, you know, proclaim him or to speak up for the Lord or for Israel, whatever it might be, let's remember these words. Be strong of God to us. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Not only that, but that is the third time in the first 9 verses of this book that God tells them to be strong and courageous. It's not the first time. It's not the second time. And we know when God repeats something, he really, really, really wants to emphasize it to us. So for us today, God is saying, get up, get going, get active in your spiritual life, and be strong and courageous. Do not grow weary, even as the darkness seems to be overtaking, even when we don't understand what's going on, even when we don't feel spiritual and close to God. Let's get up and get going, because God has commanded us to be strong and courageous and walk out our spiritual lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, many times we are frightened when we go out in the world, when we're living our lives. Many times we get depressed. Many times we get discouraged. Many times we feel overwhelmed. But God, you have overcome, and we walk behind you, Lord. You have overcome, and you tell us to be strong and courageous. And you tell us you'll never leave us or forsake us. And you tell us to get going. Lord, we need to listen to you. Give us strength today. I do pray, Lord God, for healings for people that are not feeling well. I pray for healings for people that are dealing with dire physical sickness and illness and disease. I pray for our community right now, Lord God, to be encouraged and not discouraged, that we would get up and get going and do your work every single day, being a light, showing the light of Yeshua within our families and our communities. Lord, may we love you with all of our heart, strength, soul, and mind. May we love our neighbor around us, and may we show the love of you every single day. Lord, we thank you for this word because it's encouraging to read. Do not grow weary because you're with us, Lord. And I believe you're with us. I pray that you would encourage all of us today to know that no matter what kind of a valley any of us are going through, you are with us, your rod and your staff, you comfort us, just as you were with Israel, even in their exile, even amongst their sin. You were with them in the exile. You were with Israel in the wilderness, and you're with us in the wilderness of life today. God, we thank you and we praise you, and we want to glorify you and walk behind you today in Yeshua's name. Amen.